It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep in Washington.
And I'm Renee Montaigne in Great Britain all this week. We're launching a year-long series about climate change with National Geographic. And today we're going to a valley in central England where humans first imposed themselves on the atmosphere in a big way. Holbrook Dam calls itself the cradle of the Industrial Revolution. It's where they started burning coal on a massive scale to smelt iron and make power. Steam power. The coming together of coal, iron, and steam created a new world driven by the power of fossil fuel. The early steam engines we're hearing are mostly for show now, tourist attractions. Back in the 1700s, though, these machines filled this green valley. It all started with a metal worker named Abraham Darby, who wanted to mass produce cheap iron pots. He figured out how to smelt iron using a form of coal instead of charcoal. It was a huge breakthrough because charcoal was made from wood and hard to come by.
If you're using coal as a fuel, the only restriction is how much can you dig up? And of course, at that stage, you know, this was one of the busiest coal fields in Europe. This was the place to make it happen.
That's John Challen, curator of technology for the museums here. Soon, he says, sulfurous smoke rose from the huge piles of coal being refined for the new ironworks that ran all along the river. John Challen leads us up a dirt path.
We're standing now on the top of this sort of leafy hill. I mean, the river's looking all sort of nice and quiet now. I mean, there are descriptions of 150 barges on that river. You've got this impression of this, you know, all this black industry down at the bottom of the valley with railways and smoke coming up and flames from the furnaces.
By the 1800s, coal power had allowed factories to replace cottage industries and freed those factories from both geography and the clock. Factories lit by coal gas lights could run all night, and no longer limited to power from water wheels set on rivers, factories could be located anywhere.
You put a steam engine in your factory instead of a water wheel, you can work year-round, you're not affected by the weather, and you can build more factories. That's why you get these fantastic sort of, you know, these descriptions of these Dickensian cities full of smoking chimneys. All those smoking chimneys that Dickens describes, there's a factory at the bottom of there with a steam engine in it, which of course creates a colossal market for all that coal as well.
And the coal, plus all those factory goods, were moved around on the new steam-powered railways.
And what's on the end of the railways? Steam-powered ships taking the goods around the world, so you get transatlantic trade. And the whole thing has got coal at the heart of it, driving it along.
No one, not the factory owners or workers, not those who benefited from this new industrial world or breathed its sooty air, could have known they were participating in a far-reaching experiment pumping greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. That experiment is still going on. Much of the world's energy still comes from coal. Just look, says John Challen, look down into the other side of Coalbrookdale Valley.
You can see sort of dominating the skyline of the cooling towers of the coal-fired power station.
Britain, in fact, still gets a third of its power from coal.
The difference is most of that coal is imported, probably come from China now rather than a local coal field. And coal is still a vitally important fuel, whether we like it or not.